ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
If you love the game of baseball, there was no better time to be sitting on your couch in front of the TV watching ESPN or MLB Network or whatever yesterday from about 11. I did it from 11:30 till 3 o'clock, maybe 3:30. And, Brian, I don't know that I've had a more enjoyable time just watching TV.
I've got a blister on my thumb from the remote.
Yeah.
I'm switching around because every time someone went to a break, I went somewhere else. MLB Network, ESPN.
Yep.
A little disappointed that, you know, our local networks, you know, had to wait till their prescribed times to get, you know, breaking news wasn't breaking news to them. But there was plenty of information out there. I mean, my head was still spinning.
Yeah.
By, you know, at 3:15 or whatever.
No, it was crazy. And somebody asked that. I think it was Jeff Agress. Actually, someone had mentioned why. And the only thing I can think of it that makes sense is they don't have the personnel. They don't have the.
Okay, that's money.
I mean, I know.
If you're gonna be a baseball network or an all sports network,
yeah.
On a day like yesterday,
have somebody plan to sit there, even if they have to do nothing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, no one saw the magnitude. I mean, a few weeks ago, by the way, Stranger. You know, a few weeks ago when we last worked, we were wondering if one of the big three on the north side was going to get traded.
Right.
Well, they're all out there.
Everybody's gone. Yeah.
Right. I mean, 9 players, 7 in the last 24 hours. Rick Hahn, very busy. On the other side of town, dealing with the Cubs and Cleveland. I mean, just shocking stuff all the way around, right?
Yeah, I think so.
If you're going to be a big boy sports network or certainly a baseball network, you know, that's your time to shine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I went right to Marquee, and, you know, I had to wait till after 2 o'clock to get anything from them, right?
Right.
So thank God for MLB Network, ESPN, ESPN 1000.
Yeah.
You know, we had it all covered, but I didn't see it all coming. Still trying to dissect what came back to the Cubs. I know some White Sox fans are like, wait a minute, you gave up Madrigal? You know, I get Kimbrel's going to be great and all this, but you're swinging for the fences for this year. I mean, there's no doubt. Rick Hahn didn't leave any doubt in anyone's mind that this is a year, right? He's winning this one and worry about the future in the future.
Yeah, he did. And I was one of those guys. I didn't want to give up Madrigal. There was no doubt. Cody Hoyer, I would have given Cody Hoyer to anybody that was interested. Because if you're interested in Cody Hoyer after seeing him pitch this year.
Well, see, now, because I'm reading where, and I was going to ask you this.
Yeah.
He's pitched better than his 5.12 ERA.
Yeah, that's
what
I'm
getting a resounding no from you.
Yeah, well, they're also saying that Aaron Bummer's pitched better than his, too. And even last night, when Aaron Bummer got out of a jam, he created the jam. And, you know, they're explaining on TV about how, oh, he gives up more soft hits than anybody. I don't care.
They all count.
They're still hits. You know, they still count as hits. And,
I mean, the home run yesterday that, you know, was in the glove and then, you know,
right.
A little collision goes over the fence. That still counts as a home run, right?
Yeah, it does. I mean, the White Sox win yesterday 6-4. The Cubs
that
lose.
Had everything, too. After
oh, my God.
That game had everything.
Yeah, but, I mean, the White Sox win on a homer that was tipped over the fence by 2 outfielders.
Right.
A single, a fielder's choice,
mm-hmm.
a walk, another single, and a hit-by-pitch with the bases loaded.
And a hit-by-pitch.
Oh, I mean, their bats have not, you know, they've just disappeared over the last couple of weeks. And watching their games are tough because they're not doing anything. And then the starters have struggled a bit, too, of late. Rodon, and yesterday, Lance Lynn gets a lead, and all of a sudden, you know, he's battling back and things like that. So
Rick Hahn has more to do? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well,
Rick
could have
done more?
But now, apparently, what they're going to do is they're going to try to rest their starters. And I'm not sure. I'm not a medical guy. I have no idea what the 60-game season did last year for the guys that are playing a full season this year. But it seems like a lot of people are using that as an excuse. And in their adjustments for what they've got coming up, apparently over the next 10 days, the Sox are going to spread out their starters a little bit so they get a little bit more of a rest. Mm-hmm. I understand that for Rodon. I understand that for Cease because they're not innings guys. But we've seen Giolito and we've seen Lance Lynn go innings, and it hasn't seemed to bother them. So I think White Sox fans have a reason to be still a little concerned with, you know, the bats not coming through. Yeah, and then Eloy comes back for a game or two and he hurts his groin. But, yeah, you know, it's a day today where I want to get White Sox and Cub fans to jump on in and explain to me how you think your team is doing and how you reacted to yesterday and the last 2 days, because I understand Cub fans not wanting to see all their guys from the glory days go. But in the long run, it seemed to make the most sense because you had to move them. Now, you might get one of them back next year.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh,
which one?
I think, believe it or not, I think you may get Rizzo back.
Okay, now here's my thing on Rizzo. And yeah. I love Anthony Rizzo and everything he stands for and all the joy he brought me and everything. What a decent, wonderful guy, seemingly, and all that, right? He's making $16.5 million on the backloaded team-friendly deal he signed, right? If the reports are accurate, and I think Jesse can tell us if they're accurate or not, if he turned down 5 years and $70 million, now I get that averages out to less than what he made this year. He's going to be 32, walkie back.
Yeah.
I don't think that's an insulting offer. I really don't. I mean, if you want to be the legacy guy, you want to be playing and, you know, finish your major league career where you really, I know you didn't start it here, but for all intents and purposes, you were going to be a Cub for life, right? Is that an insulting offer for a guy whose numbers haven't been great? His back has been an issue. And I mean,
I agree with you.
Decent money. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I understand that part, but I don't see the other two guys coming back at all.
No.
And I think there's a possibility if they have some money, they'll tell, and if in fact he wants to come back here, they'll, you know, give him an offer and he'll maybe come back for his last couple of years. I don't know. That's the only guy I can imagine.
You know that I saw, you know, if you projected what he has, 14 home runs, right, currently.
Okay.
If he had been playing in Yankee Stadium.
Oh, my God.
He'd be up to 23 home runs.
Sure.
If given his 300-plus foot hits.
Yeah.
Or outs or whatever you want. I'm still dumbfounded that the Yankees have the fewest left-handed at-bats this year in Major League Baseball. Is that possible?
That's just poor planning.
Yeah, right.
I mean, with that place.
That short?
Yeah.
Short porch? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. No, that's crazy. And even former Cubs got traded yesterday, too. I mean, you know, the Lester and the Schwarber get thrown in also.
Wow. And you John know, Lester going to St. Louis, of all places.
Yeah. I mean, the Washington Nationals traded more than the Cubs yesterday. I mean, it was crazy, the number of people. They just go and then... You know, I was watching, pardon the interruption yesterday. Tony Kornheiser just going nuts. He goes, what are you doing? He goes, you won 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And you're moving Scherzer and Trey Turner and all this other stuff. And the only guy they have left is Soto. I mean, you looked at their lineup yesterday and, you know, there was very little there. You know, they beat the Cubs yesterday, but the guys that hit home runs for them is like, okay, who are these guys? Well, Josh Bell, I mean, a good move by them a couple of years ago, and he's still there. But, you know, that was bizarre, too. But you look at it, and I know there were Cub fans throughout the course of the day. Oh, Rizzo's gone, Bryant's gone, Baez is gone. But ultimately, I mean, don't you think, Cub fans, let us know, 312-332-3776, this had to happen. Because it had to happen because none of these guys signed contracts in the past. On the MLB Network, they had mentioned, well, you know, Chris Bryant had the opportunity to sign a deal before this, and he decided not to sign a $200 million deal or whatever, and they looked at each other and said, well, that's another story. It is. But all
Javier
these guys,
Baez was close to signing one before last season.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And then the bed last season. And what, you know, and not all that much better, just a titch better with his OPS or OPB this year.
Yeah.
Still not anywhere near what you would expect. So you wonder what free agency holds for him. But yeah, they all turned down a deal, right? And whether they were acceptable deals or not. Rizzo, Baez, Bryant.
Yeah.
They all had money on the table. And we have some Twitter polls. And by the way, Gene tweeted at us, GenoMan2462. I kept thinking, would the result of last night's game been any different before the trades? Probably not. I mean, that's if you look at it with a critical eye.
Right.
What was this team going to do moving forward if they kept everybody?
Exactly. Yeah. No, I agree. And then, are you going to keep them all past the deadline and then lose them all because they're not going to sign the deals or they think they're worthy of more money? You know, you send Baez to a place he wants to go and plays with his, you know, childhood friend. The Giants are looking for an at-bat. They're trying to hang on to a lead in the West, and they can use a guy like Chris Bryant who can play everywhere. They kept talking.
Also close to Las Vegas,
right?
Which last check was the family home.
Yeah, and they kept talking yesterday about how he plays every position, you know. And
he's going to need to over there.
Yeah, so he can play everywhere. And then, you know, you send Anthony Rizzo, a left-handed hitter, who yesterday actually showed, you know, they got him for a reason.
Rizzo was the linchpin of the 2016 Cubs, the team that broke the curse, finally brought a World Series to Wrigley Field. He was as important a player as any of them, beloved in Chicago, will never, ever have to buy a meal there. And now he drills one deep to right field. There it goes! See ya! His first Yankee home run, and it gives the Yankees a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, and he also...
That's in Miami.
Yes, right. I know, and he hit the hell out of the ball, and he walked, I think it was his first time up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he moves there, and then, you know, I guess when you get there, it's kind of like going to a prison camp. Everybody shaves their head and gets rid of all their facial hair. Because
not Jed Hoyer.
It was unbelievable seeing him and Joey Gallo. They look like they look like the kids that just got out of grade school. but yeah, Rizzo with a homer, highlights courtesy of the Yes Network, and he'll do fine there. He'll do great there. Maybe he wants to hang around, but you know they're not in a team right now. They're not a team that's in a playoff position, so they're looking
to
move
up. I mean, the moves they made tells you what the bar is still in New York, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you 8.5, 9.5 back, whatever it is. And they're like, well, we're not done yet. We still have time to work here. And they made Yankee types moves that, you know, nothing shy about it. They don't concede anything.
No, no. And you see the Yankees, their run differential, which I rarely look at, but it's a negative. It's negative four. And so they needed help pitching-wise, too, you would think. And I'm not sure they got a whole heck of a lot. 312-332-3776. We'll get to your calls in just a second. We got a lot of people want to jump on in, talk about it. But Chris Bryant goes, Baez goes, and you got some guys back, okay? And I understand with the Padres deal, with Yu Darvish. These are guys that were deep down in the Padres system, okay, young guys. I'm looking at the Bryant deal. You got the number 9 and number 30 prospects from the Giants. You got the number 5 prospect from the Mets in this Pete Crow Armstrong.
He's hurt, just like Madrigal.
Yeah.
They got a couple hurt guys, but yeah.
Well, you know, and in a way that's not bad because they all start fresh next season, and that's probably an easier way for them to move these guys.
Hey, Crow Armstrong was 19th overall pick, right? Madrigal was a number 4 overall pick.
Yeah.
I mean, what the Darvish deal was a salary dump, plain and simple. Jed Hoyer got some assets back that you would expect to see at Wrigley Field at some point contributing to whatever it is they're going to be doing.
Yeah, the Yankees, a right-handed pitcher who was their number 9 prospect, and an outfielder, their number 12, who's a young guy, 19 years old. But they're you know, prospects that people have heard of before, which is a good thing. And it's interesting to me because, you know, the way that Rick Hahn built the White Sox is he traded established players for other guys' high draft picks. You know, your Kopech, your Moncadas, guys like, you know, not only draft picks, but also international signings.
Sure, sure.
And guys that maybe didn't work in the other farm system or, you know, the other teams, and they came here. And we've seen how that's worked out. So I think what they did yesterday was actually a good thing for the future of the team. And obviously it's a future because there wasn't much of a future with what they had right now.
Well, and one of our Twitter polls is, emotions aside, did Jed Hoyer, you know, do well with his trade deadline deals? And immediately we get people tweeting at us, emotions aren't aside today. And I get it, right? I'm there with you. But if you can step back from that and say, in this fire sale, did he actually maximize 3 guys in walk years? You know, everyone wants to tar and feather Tom Ricketts, and I understand that to a point too. They did pick up the balance of Rizzo's salary, the $5.5 million left, to maximize what they got in return.
Uh-huh.
They could have just said, hey, Yankees, you're paying Rizzo. We'll take whatever you get, you know, throw us, you know, whatever.
Right.
We're just trying to get rid of money. They didn't do that. So they you know, swallowed the $5.5 million to maximize the return. So do you get credit for that? If you're a Cubs fan, do you give ownership credit for doing that? Or is the sore too raw right now that you even give him, you know, don't want to give him credit for anything?
Callers, hang in there. We'll get to all of you as we come back. It's Hanley and Huebner here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook. at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
It was funny yesterday listening to Waddle and Sylvie when the guys jumped down when the trades were just flying. And you heard Sylvie was trying to say that it was a win-win for the Sox and the Cubs. And it's funny because neither side, Sox or Cub fans, thought so.
No.
And it was interesting because if you've watched Nick Madrigal, and I heard Cub fans say, oh, he runs things out and he's, you know, he runs, makes outs in the bases. And he does. Hey, Javi makes outs in the bases. Javi doesn't even run sometimes. Right. You know, guys do that. He's learning. He's a young guy. He was leading the team in hits when he left. He gets on base, and maybe Jed Hoyer's going to finally look for guys that actually have on-base percentage as opposed to just swinging for the fences.
Thing. I sit here and celebrate Nico Hoerner and say, you know, how come that guy wasn't starting? You know, because Jed Hoyer told us it was unanimous that Hap was the guy. Okay, whatever. If I'm going to celebrate that, for a team that couldn't get guys on base and was home runs or strikeouts and nothing, mostly crickets, I mean, in April, when they couldn't even get five hits a game. So I get that he's the ultimate empty average guy, Madrigal. I mean, can he walk more? I would hope so.
Yeah.
Is he going to hit home runs? No. I mean, that how are you going to change that aspect of his game, right?
Right.
So he is going to have to walk to get on base more. And he makes contact, but rarely does he make really hard contact. But if I'm going to celebrate Nico Hoerner being different than what I've been watching for the last 3 or 4 years with the Cubs, then Madrigal fits right in. And now you need more. You need some power.
Sure,
yeah,
sure you do.
It's going to come from.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're Jason Hayward yesterday, are you a little bit embarrassed that your name? I mean, you're banking. You're making all that money, but I mean, you're just stuck. The Cubs are stuck with you because they gave you that contract, and it's still dumbfounding to me that there was more money on the table from some other teams, supposedly, right?
Right.
The Cubs weren't even. But anyway, neither here nor there. If I want more contact and more base runners, then Madrigal fits right in. So, again, could you have gotten more for Kimbrel? And you're right. The Sox fans were upset. Why'd you give Madrigal? I saw people like, you want a Kopech? You want a Vaughn? I never heard those names.
No, I didn't either.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, here's what Madrigal did. We'll get right to the phones. Madrigal, his last 20 games before he got hurt, 365, 420, 568. He had two homers, two triples, and five doubles.
Right.
Okay, so he's not just a singles guy, okay?
No.
He's a gap guy. He's a guy that's going to get on base. He is going to improve defensively. He was better this year than he was last year. He was better on the bases this year than he was last year. So, you know, you come to the big leagues, you figure things out. Very rarely is someone really good right off the bat, unless your name's Fernando Tatis, and then he just keeps getting hurt with the shoulder that keeps popping out of him.
Ouch.
Yeah, and still hitting home runs when he comes back. Let's get to the phones, 312-332-3776. How you feel that your favorite team did during this trade deadline? Let's go first to John in Evanston. John, what's going on today?
Hey, guys. 2 points I want to bring up. I think I'd like to see the White Sox win the division and then start giving guys days off when they've got it captured and, you know, they're in the playoffs. Number two, I can understand you want to give your starters an extra day off. Now that you've got extra arms in the bullpen, you can afford to put Dylan Cease in the rotation as the sixth starter at this point. And that would give your starting pitchers an extra day off.
Well, Cease is five right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, let them figure it out. But you got your eighth and ninth guys now, and in the rotation as far as pitching the eighth and the ninth goes, you'll just flip flop. And I think their bullpen would be fine. You go with a 6-man rotation until you win that division, and then you start giving guys days off a little bit, start using the back of your bullpen a little bit more and giving some of your guys in the pen a little time, too.
Well, and John, we appreciate the call. I think that's one of the reasons they brought Ronaldo Lopez up, and he's just an innings guy. He can give you innings. He gives up a run here and there. He gave up one a couple days ago. He came in when they were losing also. Yesterday, they had to use five guys out of the bullpen. Crochet, Bummer, Tapera. He was good in his first game.
Easy attacks.
Feels like C-Sheck, where they just burnt him out and then shipped him off to the south side.
I mean, it was crazy. Ruiz, who actually got out of a big jam, and then Hendricks, who looked madder than I've ever seen him on the mound.
Are you a little leery, and to John's call, I'm always a little leery of this take your foot off the gas thing and start.
Yeah, I am too.
Doing things. I mean, you know, it's not even August 1st. Okay, one more day. It's not September. You know, I don't know how much rest. It sounds like from what Rick Hahn said, they're going with fewer innings approach, not fewer days between starts, right? Or more days between starts. This whole idea of, and I was going to ask you for a closer by committee, you know.
Yeah.
Is it Kimbrough? Is it Hendricks? Is it alternate? You know, Rick Hahn said, well, some days one guy's available, but no more six out saves for Hendricks. I don't know how that works.
I don't either.
I think right now, I mean, if you just look at the numbers and who's doing the most or who's doing the best, Kimbrough should be the closer, but you don't come in and do that to Hendricks, right? Because he's a big bastard.
Yeah, that he is. Well, he is, and so is Lynn, but Lynn wasn't exactly the guy yesterday. And he was upset, gave up some runs early.
Yeah.
He went 104 pitches, he goes five innings. But Hendricks yesterday, he seemed, I don't know, I haven't watched his face and expression after every single outing, but he looked more upset. Now, I'm not sure if it was just because he gave up a homer in his outing before that, or if because all of a sudden now he knows he's going to be sharing the spotlight with Craig Kimbrell.
Right. I mean, so there's going to be an adjustment on the back end. The whole idea of giving guys more days off between starts, I just think that's premature, and I don't like that. I mean, as much as I've sat here for a month saying the only team that can screw this up is the White Sox, but no, you know, obviously Cleveland trading to you tells you they don't think they're going to do anything, and they're not
at this point, right?
I just you know, keep trying to get better and keep doing what you're doing. I mean, I don't like this idea of
well, here's what you do, and once you win the division, or you have a, you know, you clinch the division, give a guy, skip a start.
Fine.
You know,
fine.
Skip a start for guys, and you'll be able to do that down the stretch at the end of the season.
But the reason this team is doing what it's doing is the mindset. I'm right.
Yeah.
You know, next guy up
contributes.
It's, you know, everyone feels like they have to pull their weight, and they have. And so they've overcome all the injury obstacles and everything else. Now's not the time. The message that Rick Hahn sent is we're going for it. So now please don't go the other way and just say, well, we can sit on our laurels because the division is ours.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Right.
Yeah, and they got tough games coming up, too. I mean, they do face the Yankees. You're probably going to see Ryan Tepera facing Anthony Rizzo at the Field of Dreams in a couple of weeks.
They still have to beat teams with winning records.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. And they have to get it in their heads that they can do it. And right now they haven't been able to. Let's go to our buddy Bill out in Woodridge. Bill, what's up?
Hey, boys, good to hear from you. You know, a bunch of things going through my mind. First of all, you mentioned Tepera. Was I daydreaming, or did he come in, give up a home run, a single, and a walk? Was that what happened last night?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. It wasn't his best, but, you know, he can only go up from here, I guess.
He's a double agent.
I guess so. Anyway, the other thing, when you first started off today, you mentioned a little disappointment on getting information in our local media. And I was disappointed when I went to NBC Sports Chicago and they were running poker. Is poker a sport? I mean, I realize they run it, but couldn't they have planned for a little programming to cover the trade deadline, especially since they carry the White Sox?
Yeah, it probably would have been a good idea, Bill. We appreciate the call as always. Yeah, it was kind of weird. You always expect that. And, you know, usually, too, anytime there's a press conference, you would see it. But because of Zoom and everything over the last year and a half, they haven't done that because Zoom press conference is a little bit more difficult to put on the air, I guess. And we don't see that anymore either. Cause like when Ryan Pace talks or, you know, Matt Nagy talked, I always knew I could turn over to NBC Sports Chicago and I could catch that. Right. You don't get that anymore. And, you know, everyone's trying to save a buck, I guess.
A lot of teams want that for their own content and stream on their own websites.
That's true. Yeah, that's true too. Let's go on out to Jim in Aurora. Hey, Jim, what's happening?
Hey guys. Brian, I feel sorry for you. I think it's going to be a 4 or 5 year wait, probably even longer than the last 10 years ago. If you look at these guys, they're all 19 or 20. Mm-hmm. There's hardly any with college experience. The Pirates are going to be better than the Cubs for the next 5 years, believe it or not. They've got guys with more experience. Not only that, you're going to have to fill in for the next 3 to 4 years with just mediocre starters to fill a lot of innings while these guys get ready. They got nothing.
Well, Kyle Hendricks should have been asking to be traded yesterday, too. I mean, Jed Hoyer said, why go halfway? Exactly right. Why not entertain offers for Kyle Hendricks? And I've been asking that question for a month. Why, if you're going to do this, then do it. I mean, see what you can get for him. Not give him away, but if someone overwhelms you with something, even though he's not a power guy, I'm sure someone could use him.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Jim, appreciate the call. Let's go on out to George in Skokie. Hey, George, how are you?
Good, Fred. Thanks for taking my call. First off, hats off to Rizzo. If he Yankees is he deserves it. I don't want him there, but he deserves the Yankees. He's been, the few years since 17, other guys have struggled. He's been poised. He keeps a good batting average up. He shows up every day. And, he just kind of kept, he seemed quieter the last few years, I think he just kind of wanted to keep his head down, but good for him, man. He deserves the pins and stripes, that's really the elite, because if you do your thing on your own, no matter what everybody else does, if they want you, that's great. I don't think he's going to be back either, because I don't think he looked too happy in recent months and year or two, based on, sometimes you see him on the baseline or the most recent stuff, the vaccine stuff. I don't know. It can be complicated, but second, Contreras, all the way. I would keep him forever. I wish him and Rizzo could play together, because Contreras is the most passionate, visibly passionate baseball player on the field every single time. And I think he's a good, leader, especially given that Rizzo's gone. I think he's going to be a great leader. Now he's behind home plate when he his first pitch into the stands in his first MLB career at bat. So that was awesome. And lastly, I don't know if you guys know who Scott Hansen is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's back. They took him off of NFL Total Access, which was like his flagship program Monday through Friday, other than Red Zone. Great broadcaster, great all-around broadcaster, sports. He does Red Zone, all that stuff. So glad to see he's back on at least a midday show with NFL Network. They replaced him and a bunch of other people, and they've got him on a midday show at least again. They pretty much just laid him off, but glad to be seeing him on Red Zone and seeing him on the station as well.
Hopefully calling Bears touchdowns.
Yeah, thanks, George. Appreciate it. It's funny, too, because I've had DirecTV since 96, so I never see Scott Hansen. I see Andrew Siciliano. He does my Red Zone on DirecTV. So I've never seen him. Maybe next, no, actually this year I'll still have DirecTV.
I think Scott Hansen is our caller's cousin, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, I know that anybody that has Comcast, Xfinity, whatever, they love him because that's what he does. And
I'm a DirecTV guy from when they put the Sputnik up there, the first satellite, whatever one. Yeah,
I had it since 96. I went and bought
me
it.
Too.
Yeah, it's like they're going to have the NFL every game on Sunday. I got to have this, and I've had it ever since. Caller's hanging there. We'll get right back to you. We'll also hear from Jed Hoyer. We'll hear from Rick Hahn. And last night in the game, Jose Abreu gets plunked not once but twice. First time, a little elbow thing. And then in the eighth inning, he gets hit in the head. And, all of a sudden, we got to see the sprinting Tony La Russa, which
was
makes
that,
me...
Was that sprinting?
That, for him, it was. Hey, listen, you're 76 years old. That's sprinting.
That was like he was trying to get to the front of the line for early bird special.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I think he almost got there. So, caller's hanging there. We'll get right back to you. Huebner and Hanley here on an action-packed morning. We'll have Jesse in about 45 minutes talking about the Cubs and the White Sox and the trade deadline. Everything that went down right here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
trade deadline came and went yesterday afternoon, but everybody got involved here in the city of Chicago. The Cubs getting rid of most of their 2016 World Series team that was still around, and the White Sox picking up some guys hoping to get there. Hanley and Huebner here on ESPN 1000, 312-332-3776. We've got a couple other polls we want to get to. White Sox GM Rick Hahn's deadline deals were great, good, too costly, or check back in October. And also, who is most to blame, for the Cubs dismantling? Ownership, front office slash coaches, the players, or all of the above? You can get to all these on Twitter at ESPN 1000. And Brian, we could have put down, we could have just put down Theo. Now, in my opinion,
is he bailed?
Well, yeah, he was a smart man. Once he realized nobody would sign a contract, he said, "I'm not sticking around.
This is going to be brutal. Tarnishing my legacy.
No, I'm out of here. I'm going to go work for the league. Or everybody can yell at me.
I'm going to work down the hall from the office I hope to have one day as commissioner.
Yeah.
Did you see Jed? It looked like he had been on a bender, not in a good way. With the growth, the beard, and the voice, and I mean. Look, he's getting paid a lot of money to sit in that chair.
Yeah,
but to be no one's giving him credit today, right? I mean, they're roasting Ricketts first, but eventually they'll get to Jed. But you know, look, Theo blamed the culture about we have to change our approach and we change hitting coaches how many times.
Right.
And finally, Joe Madden's got to go. So it was more about the message not getting through to everybody, and. I mean, that ultimately the players underperform and turn down decent deals or what I would consider decent deals. And so who do you blame? I mean, who's most to blame? Ownership, because they sent the message with Darvish that we're just bailing on money because COVID costs us too much, even though the franchise is worth $3.5-4 billion. I mean, it's maybe it is all the above. We'll love to hear from Cub fans.
Yeah, 312-332-3776. And again, you can get the Twitter polls on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go out to Lombard and Peter. Peter, you're on ESPN 1000. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You are. Hey, what's going on?
All right, I'm going through the car wash here, but okay. Try to hear me out.
Get the undercarriage.
I'm trying. The only thing that's undercarriage is me. I disagree with you guys about Rizzo. I would love to make a bet with you guys that Rizzo would definitely get a $100 million contract at least for 4 years.
I'll take that.
A 4 year. Because if you look at his numbers, if we're talking about last year, No, I don't even count last year. I think this year, he was so much worried about where he's going to be at, where is he going, and everything else. But he pretty much led that team. For 5 years straight, he led that team in RBIs. He hit over 30 home runs and everything. The bulky back thing, you guys can get rid of that. The kid has had a bulky back since he's been in the league. And he have always put up numbers no matter what.
Okay, 4 years, $100 million, $25 million per. I'll take that bet. God bless him if he can get it. We don't even know if there's going to be baseball next year, right? They have a CBA to negotiate, and then we'll figure out, how much money. We saw how much non-movement and big-time contracts were offered last offseason. I think those days are over, where you just overwhelm people with decent but not great numbers.
Yeah.
And that's what he has, right?
Yeah, he does. We put Peter on hold because he is now going through the car wash. I can hear it.
Now he got the dryers going.
Yeah, but I agree with him on the one thing. He did, a lot of times people would talk about Baez and about Bryant, but if you looked at Rizzo's numbers, he was like 3,100, 30 homers, 100 RBIs for a couple of years in a row there. He was always there constantly.
Most consistent.
Yeah.
About 282.
Yeah.
Batting average.
Right.
Was.
And he wasn't striking out a lot. And it's funny, too. I heard Harold Reynolds had a big thing. He kept saying I heard him say it three times. He was talking about how Anthony Rizzo is going to be such a big help to Joey Gallo if they sit next to each other and talk, because he looked at Rizzo's strikeout numbers and then how Rizzo moved it down the plate, got a little closer to the plate, can then hit the outside pitch, and he said he can help Joey Gallo cut down on his strikeouts, okay? He brought it up three times. Now, Rizzo did that himself, he did that, he cut down on his strikeouts, he did a great job of it, and that was nice to see. So we'll see. We'll see how he does.
15.7% strikeouts in 92 games. So, I mean, and of all of his plate appearances, that, you know, that he's baseball savvy, right? Yeah. I mean, we celebrate choking up with two strikes, and you know, our question is, why don't more people? I guess Joey Gallo is in that group. Why? I get it. He's the most consistent of all of the big three: Baez, Bryant, and Rizzo.
Right.
But 248, 346, 446, you know, 16 doubles, 3 triples, 14 home runs, and he doesn't strike out. That's great. Is that $25 million a year?
No, I don't. Yeah, I think that's a little bit high. We go to the let's go Southside and Tom. Hello, Tom. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's a shame you guys are only on the weekend, man. I love you guys.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Hey, two quick things. Number one, I was only 10 when the Sox won in 05, but I remember Shingo Takatsu, and then out of nowhere, he was gone, and then Bobby Jenks came in. Yeah, I'm wondering if that's going to be a similar thing here, because Hendricks, you know, he's blown 5 games.
Well, you missed a guy in between there. Dustin Hermanson was actually in between those two.
I do remember him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they went through three closers, right?
Yeah, three closers in the year.
And then one other thing. I was on Facebook yesterday, and I saw the Dodgers are up to $300 million on their payroll.
Oh, boy.
Do you guys think there needs to be a cap in baseball? I'm going to hang up and get your guys' opinion on that.
Thanks. I'm one of those guys who's always thought there should be, just because I hate when teams just spend the most amount of money and win because of it.
I mean, for lack of a better term, luxury tax, right? And Tom Ricketts was hell-bent on getting under. Even the Yankees were going to get underneath it. And
some don't care. Some don't care. They said, well, if we can win, we'll just keep spending. We'll pay.
Even though two-thirds of the people in L.A. can't watch Dodgers games, they still made $2 billion from that network deal, right?
Right.
That cable deal. So they have the money. I mean, what they did yesterday is obscene, right?
Oh, it is. Picking up Scherzer and Trey Turner?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, and so any other team that really, you know, God bless, they make the Padres look like a minor league club again for what they're doing, right? And certainly the Cubs sustained success. That's it. That's what the Dodgers do. They don't have to talk about it. They just do it every year.
Well, and I'd love to know the behind the scenes, because for, you know, hours before the Dodger deal came up, it was Scherzer going to the Padres.
Right.
And everybody thought it was a done deal. I heard people reporting it. I'm going, okay, well, that's a nice move by them. They also picked up Adam Frazier and things like that. White Sox went out and got, you know, Cesar Hernandez, who got 2 hits and can play the position. He's a nice, you know, stopgap.
That's an upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah. So that wasn't bad. But then when I see the Dodgers getting those two, I said, that you got to be kidding
me. Lee Corso would say, not so fast. Yeah. They had a better deal coming.
Uh-huh. We'll get back to the calls. 312-332-3776. Jesse Rogers joins us about 10:15. I'm sure his head was spinning throughout the day yesterday as the Cubs made numerous deals. We'll talk about it here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
For a while, I was thinking, okay, we got Bears talk. Bears are in camp. We can talk about them, even though, you know, not much happens, especially with Tevin Jenkins. He's got a bad back. I got a bad back, but he's a guy that's drafted to block people.
Yeah.
And then the draft comes. I go, well, there's no reason to watch the NBA draft. The Bulls have the 38th pick. And then they come up with Iodesumu. And I was like, okay, well, a 6'5 guard shooting 49% from the field. You know, not a bad thing. You know, but yeah, the baseball.
Yeah, I covered the Bulls when they did everything they could to get rid of second round picks or stash them in Europe because they didn't want to pay them.
Yeah. Yeah, and this was perfect, but yeah, we'll wait to talk about some of that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, with the Cubs and the White Sox making moves, we'll hear from Rick Hahn, we'll hear from Jesse Rogers, will join us about 25 minutes from now, about 10:15, but right now we're going to get back to the phones. Tony's been hanging out for a while. Tony, we appreciate it. What's going on?
Thank you. Hi, I really appreciate you taking my call. I'm going to touch on a couple subjects. The Cubs, with the core players that won the World Series, which was great, but let's be serious. These guys did not improve at all. Maybe Rizzo, with the exception of Rizzo, but Baez definitely had to go. I was sick and tired of watching him swing at balls in the dirt, and he tried to cover it up by being a big show-off. And I was a biased fan, but he did not improve as far as a hitter. Now, his fielding, you can't question his fielding, but they just didn't have that championship pedigree after they won the World Series. They did not hit in the clutch, and you could just always feel that they weren't going to make it out of the playoffs to the World Series again. Yeah. It was just because they never hit in the clutch.
No, 17 and 18, they struggled hitting the ball. They really did. Once they got near the in the postseason, they just couldn't hit.
Right.
Yeah.
And they had two runs, one run. I mean, it was not like when they were winning baseball. World Series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was terrible baseball. And by the Sox getting Kimbrel, I want to say that's a devastating bullpen now. Oh. Now, I don't know. You were talking about maybe it might be a little adjustment period. Is the adjustment because of jealousy or baseball? That might be the problem now in the bullpen.
Yeah, could be. It could be, Tony. We appreciate the call, and thanks a lot for holding on. I'm just – you went out and spent, 4 years on Liam Hendricks. And, Rick Hahn mentioned it. He and Kenny got together and talked.
Lastly, Craig Kimbrel. Obviously, the resume speaks for itself. You know, as I discussed with Craig a few weeks ago, Kenny and I asked each other, of all the players expected to be moved, let's assume we can only acquire one, who would it be? And he and I had the same answer, and that was the player we acquired today.
The only thing I would have asked after he said that was that after one of the days that Hendricks blew a save.
And you know what? It's a legit question.
Yeah.
And because you don't want to lose a chance to win the World Series. You know, Kimbrel was that guy when he struggled, right?
Right.
Everyone struggles
sure.
for the most part.
Sure they do.
But I'm still not a fan of closer by committee. I think you have to figure out who's the guy. Right now it's Hendricks' job to lose, I would assume. But I still think Kimbrel's right now in better form than Hendricks. But, you know, Kimbrel does have a team option. So, which is, so they can either say
right.
goodbye to him at the end of the year, although they paid a pretty penny to get him. So I assume they're going to pick up that option. Here, talk about a devastating bullpen. 5 of the 50 relievers in baseball who have a 30% strikeout rate or higher are now residing in the White Sox bullpen.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. The White Sox already had the highest pitching strikeout percentage before they got Kimbrel and Tepera, or Tempura, as Ozzie calls them.
Well, last night you could call him anything.
Yeah.
You didn't want to call him into the game necessarily.
But. No, you didn't necessarily. And the mix-up in the game, what happened, and Tony La Russa explained it after the game, there was a mix-up because Ethan Katz goes out to talk to Tepera, and all of a sudden, he's talking to him, and the umpire looks at the Sox dugout and all of a sudden waves in Ruiz to come in. And right. you can read Ethan Katz's lips, and he says, "We got a pitching change." And he didn't know. So La Russa, kind of with a smile on his face, said Katz knew he had to talk to Tepera after he walked the guy, after he gave up a homer, a single, and then walked the guy. He said, but he was already out of the dugout before La Russa was going to tell him, "Listen, we're making the change."
Yeah.
So as he was walking out, La Russa was on the phone calling the bullpen saying, "Listen, we got to get Ruiz in.
Yeah, this isn't working here, yeah."
Yeah, so it was kind of confusing, but it was funny. It was kind of funny.
Not as funny as Tony shoving Perez.
Yeah, yeah. No, I thought.
He goes right out there and says, "Get away from my guy."
Yeah, get away from my guy. And he explained that too afterwards. We'll talk about that. But let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Michael. Michael, what's happening today?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And my thought on the Cubs situation is, I put it more square with ownership. Yeah, they did a great job. Management did a great job to bring the championship in World Series championship in 2016. But then they rebuilt Wrigley Field. They rebuilt Wrigleyville. They launched a network that is costly to see. So they banked on the fact that they were going to continue to have a product on the field, which didn't happen, but unloading it all at the same time doesn't seem to make sense from a marketing standpoint. Hold on to Rizzo so that you can at least continue some of that while you rebuild, because who wants to go to Gallagher Way right now? Who wants to go to the damn hotel? Who wants to go to Wrigley Field or watch on Marquee? So, you know, yeah, you've lost money in biblical proportions last year, but what are you setting it up for this year, next year, and two years down the road? So I blame ownership. Goodbye, Ricketts.
But he didn't go.
Thanks,
anywhere.
Michael.
But I feel the pain and I understand it. You can still get a table at Madden's. No, I think they're closed.
Yeah.
Try the Polish sausage.
Is Rizzo's next?
But I mean, they built all that Wrigleyville up
very quickly.
They own everything within three blocks, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And didn't see the pandemic coming because no one did.
No one did. Right.
And so then, you know, they weren't liquid, right? Because all their money went into the damn hotels, our caller called it, and all that. But will season ticket holders be willing to go through what our caller said, maybe 4 or 5 years or more rebuild now, and it's a rebuild, and write those big season ticket checks? Because I don't think they're lowering ticket prices anytime soon. So.
No, I wouldn't think so. Here was the lineup in case you missed it yesterday for the Cubs, and I was eager to see what it was going to be. It
please.
Ortega in center field, Contreras catching, Happ hitting third in left field, Patrick Wisdom at first hitting cleanup, Bodie at second, Hayward in right, Duffy at third base, Alcantara at short, and Jake Arrieta was on the hill.
Help.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult.
Jake wasn't that bad.
No.
Jake wasn't that bad. I mean, he only gave up three.
Yeah, two and four innings. So, yeah he wasn't brutal. Gave up a couple of homers. I gave up one homer to Garcia. I don't even know who that Garcia was. Some guy playing second base for Washington who they don't know. I mean, Washington got rid of so many guys, and then they also got rid of other guys that were bench guys just to move everybody. It was interesting. 312-332-3776. Lots to talk about. I know yesterday Cub fans were upset. Some White Sox fans were upset. What do you think they're going to do on the south side with Kimbrel and with Liam Hendricks? We'll talk also here from Tony La Russa. None of the White Sox are happy that their big guy keeps getting hit. He drove in a run yesterday, getting hit in the head. It's the easy way, but not on the noggin, it wasn't. White Sox were winners. Cubs losing in D.C. We'll talk about the trades. We'll talk with you when we come back after this on ESPN 1000.